And the two of you, I don't know what you are doing here. MS Gilbert, Anita, I mean, hey. Hallelujah. They are all Bishop Hamish's children. He has done a wonderful work in Abeka, bringing up so many people, training them in the Lord. And I believe, I don't need to say much already, you are enjoying and you are being blessed. Hallelujah. With his wonderful wife, LP Annie. Hallelujah. I mean, I may spend time talking, but I don't want to talk much. I mean, when you find somebody that, when a church is starting fresh, and you find somebody who is very faithful and instrumental and strong. I mean, many of us have come to Lighthouse when Lighthouse is Lighthouse. You get it? One pastor went to invite somebody to his church. When the person came and he saw the church, he went, he said, grow a little, then I'll come. Grow a little, then I'll come. So when you find somebody, when the church is little, he's there and he's instrumental, you have found a real founding member, you have found a real seed, and that is who Bishop Hamish is. Hallelujah. So once again, Bishop, thank you. God bless you for inviting me. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we bless you tonight. Father, we pray that, Lord, you will speak into our lives tonight, and may our lives never be the same. In mighty Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So I'll try to say something. I think Bishop William has preached everything. Please, you can sit up. Bishop William has preached everything that has to be preached. You get it? If your teacher comes to teach a class before you come, when you come, you don't have anything to say. Hallelujah. But tonight, for a few minutes, I want to share from this book, Everything by Prayer, Nothing Without Prayer. Hallelujah. It is a very, 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 very powerful book. Now, John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Hallelujah. Let me stop here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. How many believers are here? Oh, how many believers? Okay, let me ask that question. I'm sure some of you are confused. You don't know whether it is believing in Allah or Antoine Yama or whatever. So let me ask the question again. How many are here who are believers in Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Now, when you believe in somebody, it means you believe the person is great. Hallelujah. When you tell somebody, I believe in you, it means that the person in your eyes, at least, is great. No, I remember those days I used to go, I was in school. I was going to write A-level. And I was afraid. Hey, I've never been afraid like that in my life before. When you see the big paper, you don't know whether you should wee-wee or you should run away or something. And what had happened was, I mean, I have three other siblings. Now, the one I come immediately after, James. Anytime there is a major exam, I pass him by one. Just one. When we did common entrance,
Some of you don't know what communion trance is. I'm sorry.
You are confused. Don't be confused. Recently, I was preaching in church, and I noticed that I've always thought I'm very young, but Bishop, I realized that I'm old.
And when I noticed that, I said, "No, then Bishop, I mean, he's a grandfather." Is it because I was preaching and I said, "Oh, so in 1992, then all of a sudden I just asked, how many of you were born then? Only about 3 people had been born. Then I realized that no, something bad was happening. Hallelujah. So anytime we write a major exam, I'm saying something. I passed him by one. We did common entrance. He had 277. I had 278. We did O level. He had aggregate 13. I got aggregate 11. So as we're going to write A level and I was shaking, he had, I think, BBC. Yes, World Service. No, I think he had ABD. I mean, but the aggregate was 7. I tell you. And as I was there shaking, he sent me a success card. I don't know whether they still give success card nowadays. Now they send WhatsApp. He sent me a success card. And my success card, it comes with its own words. I don't remember what was written in it, but I remember what he wrote in it. He wrote just a sentence. If I have done it, I know you will do it. That was all he said. And when I read the thing, I said, look, if I don't believe in myself for the sake of my brother, I must rise up and I must do something. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. Because of what he has written, that if I was able to make it, then you will also be able to make it. And then, my God, the devil is a liar and so is his mother-in-law. I am going to pass this exam.
That's right.
Hallelujah. What am I saying? You see, we say we believe in Jesus. You see, what my brother said was that I believe in you. I believe in you. You will do well. Hallelujah. Are you here? You've gone home. Now, when as a Christian, you say, I believe in Jesus, what you are saying is that Jesus is great. You are saying that Jesus is possibly the most important person in the world. Hallelujah. Are you here or you've gone home? Yes. When you say somebody's your mentor, you are actually saying that I want to be like you. And when you say, I believe in Jesus, one of the things that my brother also said indirectly was that, Charlie, I actually want to be like you. So if I have made it, then you there, it's very easy for you. Are you here or you've gone home? Yes. So when we say we believe in Jesus, the Bible says that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, the same shall he do. What does it mean? It means that the sign that you believe in Jesus is you do what Jesus does. Hallelujah. The sign. You can come and stand here and cry. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I'll die for you. Jesus, I believe in you. He's not moved. Hallelujah. One day a certain woman, her husband died, and she was being consoled. She didn't allow herself to, and she was crying. And as she, and when they are mourning, so they are sitting down, they don't just get up and just rush. So she rushed to where the body had been laid, where keep him. And she was crying. And then ECG decided to show their powers. So the light went off. Now when the light went off, everybody was rushing out because they didn't feel comfortable being in a room with a dead body when there's no light. And this woman was crying. She also decided to run out, but when she moved the leg, something was holding the leg. Something, not knowing, I think some metal being on the bed or something had held her skirt. And when she moved the leg was not moving, moved the leg. Then she started, "Become your ma! Become your ma!" I've changed my mind. Forgive. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, so when you say you believe in Jesus, Jesus said, "No problem. I believe you." But the sign that you actually believe in me is that whatever I did, you must do the same thing. If you don't do the same thing, then I question that your statement that you said, "I believe in you." I question it. Hallelujah. That is Jesus Christ. This is not the words of Paul. This is not the words of Peter. This is not the words of John. This is not the words of Moses. This is the words of Jesus. "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." You see, he said greater works, but me patron, let's not go there. Let's just stay with the works. I mean, greater. You see, because when somebody is your mentor's vision and hope is that you do better than him. Your father hopes that you do better than him. If your father builds a house and you don't build a house, you are a failure. Because you are actually supposed to do more than your father. At least someone here cry, do the same. You get it? At least do the same. Solomon proved this. His father David had 6 wives. He went to town, 1,000. Yes. Greater works. His father had 6 wives. I mean, I've always known that David was into, but I just discovered that he had 6 wives. Yeah. Ahinoam. He married Ahinoam, he married Abigail, he married different, and the first 6 children he had, every single one of them was a different woman. Go and read your Bible, you see. All the first 6 children, everyone had a different, and then even what broke my heart or what made me want to even clap for him is that when finally Saul died, and Abner came and Abner said, "Look, I want to enter into a league with you. So I want to come and see you for discussion." You know the message he sent to Abner. "You can only see my face if you bring me car." I mean, you have 6 wives. You are still calling for more. What an anointing. So when Solomon came, I cannot buy, say, "Yes, I'm walking in the anointing of my father." Before he could say, "Jack, 700 wives." Then he issued an instruction: "No more weddings." Then one day was done, but we can do engagement. Then continue doing engagement. 300. So Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you do the same, and not just the same, but you do greater. And the reason why you do greater is because I am going to the Father. What am I going to do when I go to the Father? I am going to stand in to intercede for you, to pray for you, because I've been on earth. I know your weaknesses. I know your suffering. I know your challenges. I know how difficult this work is. I am going to the Father, and I will pray to the Father, and the Father will send you help. And when that help comes, the work that I did, you will do the same, and you will do even greater." Hallelujah. Are you here or you've gone home? Yes. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Let's look at the works that Jesus did. Hallelujah. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. That's what he did. That's what he did. He didn't go about doing business. For those who came for an anointing for business, I'm sorry. Today we are not sharing anointing for business. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What were the works that Jesus was doing? Jesus went about teaching and preaching and healing. And the Bible is saying that if you believe in him, you do the same. Believing in Jesus is not about just coming to church. It's not just about coming to church. There are things that Jesus did, and if you are a believer, you will do the same. Ask your neighbor, you at all. I saw you now, Obano. What do you do? See, some of you, we have to even charge you for causing financial loss to the church. Because you don't do anything. All you do is to break the plastic chairs in the church. That is all you do. All you do is to break plastic chairs and put chewing gum on our chairs. And go to our washroom and spray the bowls. And some of you too, when you go to the... It's okay. You go to the WC and you go and squat on the bowl and you crack the bowl. You see, you are causing financial loss. It's okay, it's okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. So the work that Jesus did, preaching, teaching, and healing, that is what he did. And he's saying that if you want to prove that you believe in me, it is not about being emotional. It is not about being happy. It is not about coming to church every Sunday. It is about doing exactly what he did. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. When you read the Bible, in Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, you will notice that the first thing that Jesus did was to preach. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Continue. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now note, there is no useless detail in the Bible. Before Jesus met them, they were doing something else. They were fishermen. Before Jesus met you, you were a banker. Before Jesus met you, you were a doctor. Before Jesus met you, you were an engineer. But after you've had an encounter with Jesus, casting a net into the sea, for there were fishes. Yes, next verse. And what did he do? Did he say, "Come, let me bless your business"? Mumma me anointing oil, me anointing boat, no. Me anointing net, no. From today, that say of the Lord will net no entity that. Is that what he did? And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Continue. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now that is a sign that you believe. But when you sit down and begin to have discussion, you know, this is the fish business. I mean, it's family business. My father hopes that I will take over the business. So he's grooming my brother and I. See, when you say that, it's a sign that you believe in your father, but you don't believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. Go on. And going on from there, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother in a ship, with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they, I'm showing you what people who believe in Jesus, they do. I'm showing you what people who believe in Jesus. I am yet to meet somebody who really, really believes in Jesus and he doesn't make a turn and begin to do the things that Jesus did. I mean, I'm not talking about becoming even a pastor or becoming a full-time man. No. I am talking about just the works. I'm not talking about entering into an office. I'm not talking about entering into an office. I'm talking about the works that he did. The works that he did. That is what I'm talking about. The works that he did. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5 verse 1. He preached. So when you read, you see that Matthew chapter 4 talks mainly about the preaching ministry of Jesus. Then when you go to Matthew chapter 5, it talks about the teaching ministry of Jesus. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Continue. And he opened his mouth and taught them. He taught them the whole of Matthew chapter 5, the whole of Matthew chapter 6, and the whole of Matthew chapter 7. It is full of the teaching of Jesus. If you have a good Bible, you see that from this point on, from verse 3, it is red letter throughout to the end of Matthew chapter 7, because Jesus was teaching. Hallelujah. He preached. He taught. Is it? Bishop, is it what you are saying? You see, it is good, Mom. But I don't think that is all. Okay, I'm not here to argue with you. Show me the bank that Jesus opened. Jesus savings and loans. Show me. Christ International Bank. Show me the school that Jesus started. Little Christians Montessori School. Hallelujah. Show me the factory that he built. Jesus Cannery. Jesus Sardines. Jesus Tuna. Because the people he was moving with, they were into fishing. So he started a business to can the fish. Jesus Tuna. Eye de papa. Hallelujah. He taught them. 3 chapters he was teaching. It's amazing that chapter 4 he was preaching. Chapter 5, 6, 7 he was teaching. Then chapter 8 he moved into healing. Chapter 8, he moved straight into healing. Hallelujah. Are you here or you've gone home? Chapter, by the end of verse 4 of chapter 8, he has healed the leper. Go to chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, see, he's been teaching. When he came down from the mountain, when he arrived, there was a leper waiting for him downstairs. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and washed him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately his leprosy. May any leprosy in your life, a leprosy is an incurable disease. May every incurable disease in your life be taken away in the name of Jesus. Yes. And some of the time you have incurable disease, but you don't know it. See, one of the reasons why cancer kills people is that they don't discover it early. Meaning that as they were moving around, there was cancer in their body. But they didn't know. By the time they discovered it, it was too late. May any sickness in your body that you are not aware of, but it was meant to kill you, may the Lord touch you now. And may that sickness be taken away. And then may that sickness be taken away. My God, tumors are disappearing in your bodies. I said tumors are disappearing. Different diseases, different viruses in your body, they are disappearing now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He healed. Then when he finished healing the leper, the centurion came. When Jesus saw him, he said, oh, Jesus, don't lay hands. I'm not the one who is sick. My servant in the house is not well. Look, Jesus said, no problem. Let's go, I'll heal him. He said, no, Jesus, don't come to my house. You don't need to come. I know your type. You see, because I am also a man under authority. I say to one, go, and he goeth. And I say to one, come, and he cometh. And I know that even as you stand here, when you command the disease, when you command the sickness, it shall disappear now. Hallelujah. Jesus looked at the thing. He shook his head. They said, Master, go. Your servant is well. Go. Any sick person you have at home is healed in the name of Jesus. I said, any sick person you have at home is healed in the name of Jesus. I said, any sick person you have at home is healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Kama korobo satalaba. Rekantolobo shetala brandere. Then when he finished healing the centurion servant, he went to Peter's house. When he entered, he was hungry. He was expecting some rice and stew. But instead of rice and stew, he saw the one who was supposed to cook the rice and stew lying in bed sick, Peter's mother-in-law. So when he came, he said, there's no food. So our mother is not well, so he has not cooked. Be healed, Charlie. Go and cook the rice. Just go and cook the rice. The Bible said that he held her hand and lifted her up, and she was well. Hallelujah. These are the works of Jesus. And these are the works that believers of, unless you believe in Allah, unless it is Allah that you believe in, but if you believe in Jesus, this is what Jesus expects of you. These are the things he wants you to do. Look, I'm talking to everybody here, especially you, brother, and you, sister, who don't do anything. Hallelujah. Do you know something? Jesus doesn't have time for people who are not interested in his work. Should I show you? Are you sure you want me to show you? Okay. Matthew chapter 4. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 18. And Jesus, okay, so verse 8, so sorry, go to verse, I think 20. Here he was calling the people. Yes, 21. And going on from there, he saw to, okay, 22. And they, 23. Sorry, it's Matthew chapter 8 I'm looking for. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. Let me show you. And when, now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him. You see, because the great multitudes, they have seen healing. So they are coming for healing. You get it? They have seen a leper cleansed. They have seen somebody who was not in the service receive a miracle in the house. They have seen demons being chased out. They have seen Peter's mother-in-law healed. And somebody had gone around to announce, the great healer has come. So when Jesus came, a lot of people had come. When he saw them, what was it? He said, because if you, Reverend Kafui, if you came to church and people have gathered, what would you do? Your man of Godism will come. Do you know man of Godism? Your man of Godism will come. That you've been praying that people should gather, people should come to church. You've been going to bring people to church. When they see you, instead of coming to church, they go and hide in the ceiling. One day, a brother went to bring somebody to church. When the person was outside, and he told the brother, go and change, let's go. The brother said, okay, wait for me, I'm coming. He went inside. The brother waited 5 minutes. Nobody was coming. 10 minutes. Nobody was coming. 15 minutes. He went to knock on the door. Nobody was coming. Then the brother, whose sister, the brother is come to take, his sister came and said, your brother went into the room and he has not come back. I hope he has not jumped the window. And they said, oh, we don't have any back door and all the windows are burglar proof. Hey, disappearing spirit. They entered the room, looked into the wardrobe, looked under the bed, everywhere. They even opened the fridge just in case. There was nobody in the room. But the guy was sure that the person was in the room. God, I am standing by the door. Nobody has come out of the room. So where is this brother? As they were confused, they were moving up and down. The brothers, the elder brother came. So they told him. When they told him, he smiled. They said, follow me. They entered the room. He walked to a spot. He pulled the chair, stand on it. He moved the ceiling. The brother was in the ceiling. The brother was in the ceiling. So, as you go to bring people to church and they are hiding in ceiling and you have arrived in church and they are crowd gathered, what will you do? My God, today be today. And then you're coffee. Every revelation you've had in the past 2 years, you release all. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he looked at them and said, these people, they are not people who have come to be converted into preachers. They are not people who have come to be converted into teachers. They are not people who have come to be converted into healers. They have come rather to receive healing. What did he do? He gave commandment to depart from to the other side. He's not interested in spending time with people who are not interested in his work. Look, Jesus came with a mandate. His mandate was to raise up many believers and the true believers. They do the things that he did. A Christian is somebody who is Christ-like. It means that you look like Christ. Your mannerisms. See, when somebody says, ah, you look like this guy, it means that maybe it's the way you walk, it's the way you talk, it's the way you appear. You get it? See, when you look at a black man and they tell you, Charlie, you know, Charlie, your skin is black. I mean, if we put up the lights right now, and the only thing we'll see when you smile is your teeth. And then they call you and say, ah, you look like Bishop Dad. Definitely, it is not your looks. Definitely, it is not your looks, brother. When they tell you, I look like some guy, chaisa.
Brother, look sharp. It is not your looks.
It's possibly the way you talk, the way you walk, or the way you preach. That is why you look like him. So when you say you are Christ-like, it doesn't mean that.
See, because the problem is that none of us knows how Christ looks like. Some people say Christ is black. Some people say he's white with blonde hair. When we get to heaven, we'll discover.
How can a black body from Nzema and then a white person from Britain both look like Jesus? Definitely, it is not body we are talking about. We are talking about the word. I said, we are talking about the word. That's what we are talking about. Yes. So if you believe in Jesus, the works that I do,
oh my God,
the works that I tap your brother and say, what works do you do?
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Jesus is not interested in spending time with people who don't do the works that he did. When he saw the multitudes, he said,
why?
He walked away. He walked away. He called the people that were going to follow him. There were people who have left everything and they have followed him to do the works that he was doing. He said, guys, let's go. And he left the rest of the people. You don't know, you don't understand why nothing seems to be working in your life. A Christian for years. I've been coming to church. I've been paying tithe. But it looks like no major miracle is happening in my life. Check the works. Check the works. I said, check the works. That is where the problem is. Hallelujah. Are you here or you've gone home? And it's not just that. No, let's go back to John chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. You see, the answers to your prayers is linked to the works that you do. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that always when you have a problem, you want to come to your pastor to pray for you? Why? Oh, I need somebody to give me an answer. Why do you come to your pastor? I think you look at somebody who can answer. Why do you go to a pastor that pray for me? It is not a trick question.
Of course, it's not. Bishop, because you don't pray or you don't believe in yourself.
Because you don't believe in yourself. Because you don't believe that God will answer you when you pray. Because actually you've been praying for some time, but God doesn't mind you. You get it?
Yes.
But your pastor is not better than you. Oh, look. All pastors, please, don't be angry with me. I'm coming to release our secret. Your pastor is not different from you. The feelings you have, sometimes he even has more. When we are fasting, your pastor is moving around. Okay, baby, he looks like his spirit comes from heaven. Oh boy, oh breath. Oh breath. Oh vampire now say, oh God, I wish you would do a miracle and let the clock fly. Oh breath.
you see your pastor preaching, he looks like an angel who has dropped from heaven. But the Bible says that Elias was a man of like passions, meaning that the feelings you have, he had the same feelings. The desires you have, he had the same desires. The challenges you have, he had the same challenges. But yet, he prayed. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. Why? This is the secret. This is the secret. When God looks at the work that he does, when he prays, the Lord, he will say, Jesus will say, Lord, it is true that he had last four thoughts a few minutes ago, but for the sake of the works. But for the sake of the works. The difference between you and your pastor is not because he's purer than you, holier than you, cleaner than you. It is the works that he's doing. It has given him special access to God. It has given him access. Listen. The reason why I have Bishop Dad's telephone number, and the reason why Bishop Hamish has Bishop Dad's telephone number, and you don't have it, is the works. The reason why Bishop Dad would take his phone and dial my number and talk to me on the phone, and he has never called you. In fact, you've met him 20 times. You've mentioned your name 21 times. And he still doesn't remember your name. The difference is the works. The reason why you don't pray much is because there is nothing to pray about. Because after you've asked for shoe, and you've asked for dress, and you've asked for necklace, and you've asked for ring, and you've asked for rice and shito, what else is there to ask for? But when you enter into ministry, you will realize that praying for 24 hours is still not enough. It's still not enough. You will realize. Because there's a lot to pray about. Look, at the beginning of this year, when we were doing the fasting and prayer, when we were ending, we did an all-day prayer. We were praying from 6 to 6, 12 hours, and I'm going to say that, hey God, can I get prayer topics to last us the 12 hours? Do you know what happened? The prayer topics I brought, we couldn't even finish praying them. We couldn't even finish praying the prayer topics. Is it because when you are working with God, there is a lot to talk about. There is a lot to discuss. There is a lot of insight. And you will not get tired. You see, the reason why when you go to pray, you feel bored is because of the lack of works. Yes. That's the reason. Oh, yeah, that's the reason. The reason why when we say we're having a 3-hour prayer meeting, you begin to feel bored. Now off our phone, mommy phone. Bishop, thou art the prophet. People come to church and doing praise and worship. Then they will turn so that the camera will face them in the stage, and they will gauge where they pray and worship like that. Clap. Then they post, I'm in church good this morning. Is it for show? Some of you, when you come, you see, it comes to a time, Bishop, when I'm coming to preach in Abeka, I tell everybody, take your phone, turn it off. Because some of you, when we are preaching and you are holding the phone, and we thought you are reading Bible, and you are typing notes. You are doing your list for the market. Nyadua, 2 cities. Meko, 3 cities. Momoni, 5 cities. That is what you are doing. That is what you are doing. You are doing shopping lists. That is why when you cook that food, everybody who eats it will have running stomach. Hallelujah. Are you here? You've gone home. Ask your neighbor, what are the works? What are the works? What works are you doing? What works? You don't enjoy praying. Because what is the use of praying when you don't have answers? What is the use? What is the use to when you pray? What is the use of writing an exam you know you have already failed? What's the use? As you are going, you know, say, Charlie, zero. No, it's not zero. Zero. You know, in the university, we are given elective. Now, elective subjects, I mean, they don't really matter. You can do without them. First year, second semester, we went to do statistics as an elective subject. When the results came, 95%. So the next semester, my roommate and I said, we want something more challenging. Statistics there, oh yeah, it's like it's an average booster. Yes. We are Anya 92 dia obenya. Yes. So we decided to go and do computer programming because we said we've come to school where we must broaden our knowledge. Man for be broad. So we went to do computer programming and we were using Fortran, a language that they've stopped using 20 years ago in Ghana universities. We are still doing Fortran. Now, as we were doing the programming, and anyone is out in a computer, now we bought program, now we test, now we say, yes, I understand, but we're doing the programming on paper. We went to do our midterm or mid-semester exam. Hey! My goodness gracious me. When we look at the paper, it's like, hey, is this Greek or is it English? And we took the answer sheet we had, we folded it, put it in our pocket. We told the lecturer, we are going to Wibi and come. End of the semester, when it was time to write the exam, we slept. Mean koye course a best semi average. Average me a brain sananya. What is the use of going to write an exam you know you will not pass? In the same way, what is the use of going to pray when you know an answer is not coming? That is why we don't pray. That is why we don't pray. But see, if you will begin to do the works, you begin to see answers. I said, you begin to see answers. I said, you begin to see answers. God will begin to answer. You see, it is not a secret. Do you have a secret under your bed? That when you press, God, it opens the door straight to heaven. John 15:16 says that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. That is how you get answers to prayers. That is how you get answers to prayers. When you begin to do the works that Jesus did, you begin to have answers. Hallelujah. That's when you begin to have answers. Other than that, you no go get any answer. Other than that, God no go mind you. Other than that, when you see, can you imagine God one day, he has a lot of questions to answer when we go to heaven. Can you imagine we've all woken up tomorrow morning and we are all praying from Kolegono, Abeka, First Love Center, Mamprobi,
Palladium, Sukura, Dakuman. Who should God listen to first? Let me ask you a question. When you stand to pray, and I stand to pray, who should God listen to? You are asking for a red dress, and I am saying, Lord, use us to win souls. Which one do you think he will answer? And see, God has a strange way of doing things. When you ask him what he likes, when he appeared to Solomon and asked Solomon, ask anything that I'll do for you, from the head of your enemies to riches. And Solomon said, I don't need any of those things. Just give me an understanding heart so that I'll be a good leader to your people. Not my people, your people. God said, my God, you've asked a very great thing. And because of that, I am going to give you wisdom more than anybody who has come before you and who comes after you. And in addition to that, me mau into swore. I'm giving you what you did not ask for. Are you here or you've gone home? You've been praying for 5 years. You don't have any answer. Well, let me prophesy to you. And you continue praying for another 5 years. It will not be answered unless you change the work that you are doing. You don't like my prophecy. It is not a prophecy. It's a word of knowledge. Yes. It will not change. See, when you read the Bible, in Luke chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says that Zacharias and Elizabeth, they've been married for years, no children. And one day, the whole church were meeting. They were praying. Zacharias was leading the prayer meeting. He was in the Holy of Holies, and as he was praying, I'm sure he was praying for the sins of the people. He had taken the list of the church members. Lord, this one a shoe. Lord, this one a dress. Is it because at his age, what does he need? And he was praying for them. And as he kept praying, he lifted up his eyes. And an angel of the Lord was standing there. And the Bible said that he became afraid. And the angel said, fear not, but I have seen. He was praying for the church members. But the angel ignored the prayers for the church members. And he came to the one who is doing the works and said, I have watched you serve me faithfully all these years, and you have been struggling for a child and you don't have a child. And God told him, next year by this time your wife, who was called barren, watch this, when she was young and her womb was fresh, she was barren. Now that she has passed menopause and she has progressed to monostop and she's nearing mono rewind, is it now that dead womb is going to come alive? But there's nothing that is too big for God to do. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Now, many years ago, when we got married, for 5 years, we were trying to have children. You see, and there are some people, when they say that we want, they go and say, Doctor, we've been trying for 3 years. Nothing is happening. You see, such people, they should be lashed. Because the man is living in Accra, and the woman is in Kumasi, and every 2 weeks she comes down. Or once a month, she comes down. And you expect that when your husband shakes your hand, you will become pregnant. No works. But in our case, there was works. A lot of works. A lot of works. And yet, nothing. One day I got up, and when I was praying, I told God, look, I perceive you've decided that you'll not bless us with children. I said, God, no problem. In fact, it is good. Now, this prayer, up to now, my wife doesn't know I prayed it. Don't tell her. She could have killed me if she heard me praying this prayer. I said, God, no problem. Even it is good that we don't have children, because now I can serve you properly, because I don't have any child calling me. I don't have my wife calling me and saying that, Charlie, Joshua has a headache. I don't have that problem. So I prayed and I moved. I remember where I was standing, somewhere in Ashiaman, doing the work of God, when my wife called me and said, I am pregnant. A prayer that I didn't pray. Something I have stopped praying about. And it was as though that was not enough. She went to do a first scan. They came.
Oh, yeah, so
nice boy is there. I mean, of course, they don't know then whether it was a boy, but their child was there. Then getting to the end, she went to do another scan. And they said, wait, we are seeing something. We can see two hearts beating. Into swallow. Into swallow. Look. Let God worry about your life. You think about the works. Many years ago, I was in La Cathedral, and we had gathered one Monday evening for shepherd's meeting. I had called for a shepherd's meeting. And just as you know, the shepherds, the meeting is supposed to start at 6. Shepherds will come in one by one. You know the way you know your behavior. and they trickled in and got in around 7:30. So around 7:30, I was ready to go and preach. Then I received a call from the house. My wife was screaming on the phone. Joshua and Josiah had been born premature. And my wife was screaming on the phone that there is something happening to Josiah. He's not responding. When I put my hand on, I don't feel him breathing. I've been shaking him. He doesn't wake up. We are going to Kolebu. Meet us at Kolebu. Shepherds have also gathered. Man of God, what will you do? The Bible says that he that has a wife will think of how to please his wife. But he that doesn't have a wife thinks about how to please God. Now I have a wife. Do I please God? Or do I please my wife? Then my assistant came and said, oh, the way we struggle for these people to gather, I think you should share with them for 5 minutes. So I said, no problem. I took the microphone. I stood there. I'm sharing for 5 minutes. I shared for 5 minutes. When I finished sharing for 5 minutes and I checked the time, it was more than 1 hour. I threw the mic to my assistant. I jumped into the car. But strangely enough, as I was driving, I didn't feel that something bad. I had peace. So I drove to Kolebu. I got down. I went to the neonatal unit, NICU. I walked and I entered. When I got there, the nurses were laughing. And they were laughing at my wife. And they were saying that, the child was just asleep. And you have carried him and put him in a car and rushed to Kolebu. Wait. A mother doesn't know when her baby is asleep.
a mother doesn't know when her baby is asleep. Shook him. He didn't respond. She rushed down without slippers, barefooted, onto the street. The first car she saw, she stopped the car and said, "My baby is dying. Take me to Kolebu." Is it the actions of a mother whose baby is just sleeping? I believe what happened, that as I stood there and I shared the word of God, a miracle happened on the way. That baby that was dead was brought back to life. Look, when you don't do the work, you always want to be prayed for to receive miracles. But when you do the work, your life is a living miracle. Miracles happen in your life on a daily basis. Miracle happens in your life every day. Miracle. Somebody who does the work. See, because when you look at Jesus' life was a life of miracles. When he didn't have money to pay the tax, he goes and catch a fish. There is money in the mouth of the fish. When he goes to the seaside and there was no boat, what does he do? He walks on water. When he has 5,000 people to feed and there is no bread, only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, what does he do? He thanks God and God multiplies it. When you are doing the work that Jesus did, your life is a life of miracles. Your life is a life of fantastic blessings. That is what happened to you. That is what happens to you. Look, many times, the one day I was praying, and I was thinking about a church member who had a particular problem. And I used to also have the same problem. And as I was praying, I was not even thinking about that church member. And I heard the Spirit of God saying, "Tell him or tell her what you did." I said, "Eh? What did you say?" I said, "Tell him or tell her what you did for the problem to go." And I said, "God, I didn't do anything. I just served you." He said, "Tell them that." Tell them that. Tell them that. What problem do you have? What problem do you have? Do the works. I said, 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 do the works. That problem will disappear. It will go. Hallelujah. He that believeth on me, the works that I do. The works that I do. Hallelujah. Let me read something to you as I close. Hallelujah. Are you here or you've gone home? I'm going to read something from Rejoiner's book, When God Walked the Earth. I want you to listen. When I finish reading, I have closed. Hallelujah. Are you here or gone home? Yes. Do the works. Look, if you come and say, "Bishop, what should I do for this thing to go away?" My answer is, do the works. Do the, see, I'm not saying that bad things don't happen to people who do their works. But I'm saying that, look, because all of us, bad things happen to us. But at the end of the day, the person who does the work is guaranteed victory. As the people who do the work, they are guaranteed what? Victory. Yes. People who do their work, they go and write exam, and when they get to the exam room, everything they've learned has disappeared. Their memory has been formatted. Empty. And people also who do the work also sometimes go to write the exams. Their mind is also formatted. But guess what? When the results came, the one who did the work with a formatted mind has passed. And then the one who did the work, who didn't do the work with the formatted mind, had failed.
Look, I've gone to write an exam before that. As I was writing the exam, I asked myself, why am I even writing this exam? I was sitting there and I was smiling. I was smiling not because I was seeing top. I was smiling because I'm getting zero. Is it time, man? Take your paper. I was surprised that when it came, I had passed. You get it? Look, I in school one day we were given some project work to do. It was very demanding. We were given project work to do, and the project work is a team of 6 people. You are supposed to design a city. So one person is doing structures, one person is doing road, one person is doing water, one person is doing waste, whatever, and I'm doing water. And the work is so much that you have 2 weeks to finish. And so I actually worked on this project from 8 a.m. every morning to 4 a.m. the next day for 2 weeks. Going to the library, doing research, this, that. Those days, it was the days of floppy disk. Do you know floppy disk? Half of your life is gone. You don't know floppy disk. You've not seen floppy disk before. So because of this work for 2 weeks, Reverend Kafui, you can't believe it. Don't tell anybody I told you. I was not having my quiet time. And I was not praying for 2 weeks. Because man for finish the project. 8 a.m. to 4 a.m. Then I sleep, then I wake up. When my eyes open from there, bling, I just get up, go to my desk, sit down and begin to write. For 2 weeks. The night before we were supposed to submit the exam, I have finished my project. I was using my roommate's computer, Bishop William. I was using his computer. I was working from a floppy disk. Those days, so I didn't know much about computers. All I knew was that this is how you put it on, this is how you open Word, this is how you type, this is how you save, and then you shut down. I didn't know that you can resave from the floppy disk onto the hard drive. So every work I had done, apart from once that Bishop William came to save onto the hard drive for me, everything was on the floppy disk. When I finished, and I finished reading, and I said, wow, save! Then I heard a noise. You see, the pen drive people, they don't understand what that sound means. I did the sign of the cross. I removed the floppy disk, hit it, put it back, click on it. All my 2 weeks of working 20 hours a day gone down the drain. I removed the floppy disk, held it like this. I ran to my friend who did computer science. I said, brother, prove to me that your computer science is proper. Revive the floppy disk. Bring it back to life. Bring it back to life. When I gave it to him, he said, I will try, but you have to go and pray. When he said pray, I said, play off. I went to my room. I took my bath. I was an elder in church. We had an elders meeting. Instead of going to restart the work, I went to sit in the elders meeting. When I got there, I said, what are you doing here? We hear your project. I said, brother, forget. For 2 weeks, I didn't mind God. This is where it has ended. Let me now start minding God now. Let me start minding God now. Before now, it is not only the floppy disk that God takes. He decides to. So when we finish the elders' meeting around 11 o'clock, now the work that I had done for 2 weeks, 7 times 20, 140 hours, I was now supposed to finish it in 7 hours. The books I did the research in were all in the library, and I was sitting in my room. How am I going to do this thing? I sat behind the computer. My eyes were closing, and I was typing. 5 a.m., whatever I had typed, I saved it. I went to print it. I sent it. Do you want to proofread that? I don't need to proofread anything. You just take. Take and go and fail me and let me go and redo that. When the results came, I got 69%. I was shocked. Yes. Almost an A, yes. It was 70% than A. Almost an A. I couldn't believe it. God was trying to get my attention. I said, God was trying to get. That is why I'm saying that when you don't do the work, the people who do the work and those who don't do the work, they all have problems. But one will always come up on top, and one will also be down. Yes, let me read the book and let's go home. Now it's talking about Jesus when he was on the earth and the encounter. I'm going to read the encounter. The one I read in Matthew chapter 4. The sons of Zebedee, that experience. I'm coming to read it from the revelation that God gave to Rejoiner. John looked up at his father, whom he loved and respected greatly. Of course, I've jumped a lot of things. Father, let me give you a little. John had gone to follow John the Baptist. Then when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away." So John then left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. When he followed Jesus, Jesus turned and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He said, "Oh, I want to go and see where you live." He said, "No problem, let's go." So he took them home. In the morning, he told John, "Go back to your father's house. I'll come back for you later." So now, John had gone home and he had been waiting for Jesus for some time and Jesus hasn't come. And now he was becoming depressed because he was the spiritual type who was looking for Jesus. And his father watched him as he moved from not being able to work out of depression to the point where he was now working very hard, and every work it was like he had an enemy that he had to kill. So then his father decided that, "Look, I have to say something. My son is suffering." So he spoke to him that, "Look, you cannot put your trust in a man. It is only God who deserves such trust." Then this is what John is saying. John looked up at his father, whom he loved and respected greatly. "Father, I agree with what you are saying. I know that I will somehow get beyond the disorientation I now feel, but I know that I must either return to the Baptist or somehow find Jesus. I cannot blame Jesus for not keeping his word. Anyone can forget." He says, "Anybody can forget. I'm sure by then Jesus has even forgotten that I exist. Something may have caught up that prevented him from coming. I will go find him." John blurted out, throwing down the net he had been mending. This resolve was like a wind blowing away the fog from his mind. Suddenly, he felt better. "I will seek Jesus until I find him. If I have to, I will even not eat until I do." Hey! "I will seek him till I find him. And if possible, I will not eat." Can you say that? "I will not eat." You see, fasted 2 days, and now I say, "Mother." Anyway. "I will not eat until I do, but I will find him." He continued with such force that it shocked his father and brother. "Whenever you seek me, you will find me." A voice flowed down from the bank above them. All three of the men wheeled around to see who had spoken. "Master," John shouted, leaping up the bank in giant strides. "You came for me." So Jesus has come. Wow. "Did you doubt that I would?" Jesus was asking, "Did you doubt?" "Well, it has been so long," John mumbled. "Did you doubt my word?" Jesus asked again. John did not know what to say, so he did not say anything. See, when you may ask a question and you know that the answer will not be good, it's better not to say anything than to lie.
better to not to say anything than to lie. When you pass through the red light and the police has caught you, is asking you, did you pass through red or yellow? Yes, ma'am. See, one day, a pastor and his wife were going home from church, like a convention like this. So the wife fell asleep in the car. Then at the point she woke up, all she could hear was red, yellow, red, yellow, red, yellow. So she was wondering, what kind of dream am I having that I'm hearing red, yellow? So she woke up. When she woke up, the car had parked. Two policemen were standing outside. The husband had rolled up the window and left just a tiny space. And he has locked all the doors. And was arguing with the policeman. Red, yellow, red. The policeman said, you pass through red. No, yellow, red. So, out of frustration, the policeman said, look, let's be honest. Answer me honestly. Then I will let you go. Did you pass through the red light or yellow light? He said, yellow. The policeman said, okay, go. So, when they come, then the wife tapped the husband. Did you pass through red light or yellow?
Then he said, I passed through red.
Is it? He should have just kept quiet. He should have just said and told his wife, mind your business, mind your business. Hey! Forgive. John did not know what to say, so he did not say anything. John did not say anything either. Jesus did not say anything either, but continued to look straight at him. Finally, John almost whispered, I'm sorry. I did begin to doubt, but I knew that you must have a good reason not to have come. Jesus replied, I understand, but you would learn that you never have reason to doubt my word. You will learn. When you walk with God, you will learn that you should never. His word is sure. I said, his word is sure. Once he has said it, if that thing doesn't exist, his word will create it. Hallelujah. I understand, but you will learn that you never have reason to doubt my word. Jesus replied, as he reached out to take John's hand and pull him to the top of the bank. Jesus then turned and looked down upon Zebedee and James. Both had been watching the scene with great interest. John quickly spoke up, Father, brother, forgive me for not introducing you. This is Jesus, whom I told you about. Yes, Zebedee replied, our son has told us much about you. Can we please offer you hospitality in our home? Sir, my father and I have always appreciated the hospitality we have received in your home, as well as in the home of your father. That is why I have come for your sons, so that they can help to build us a house. Then I will receive you and your father and show you hospitality. When there is a house that the people fear God and they honor God, most of the time God will come and pick their children. The reason why God came for me was because my parents tried to honor God in their home. Are you here or you've gone home? Zebedee obviously did not understand him. Sir, have you been here before? He asked. He was confused. Friend, it is hard for you to understand now, but you will later. You and your house have honored God by seeking to know his ways and by teaching your sons to trust him. He will now honor you by using your sons. Look, it is an honor. It is an honor. You see, when I see people who don't want to do the work of God, I say, you don't get it. You don't get it. It is an honor for God to say that, Kafui, I am going to use you. It is an honor for God to say, Pastor Bonzi, I am going to use you. When God, look, for me, it is a great honor that God will decide to use me. Of all the people, I come from a house of four boys. Out of the four boys, God decided to pick me and use me. He didn't pick the firstborn. He didn't pick the secondborn. He didn't pick the lastborn. He came and picked the thirdborn. For me, it's an honor. It is an honor for God to use you. And when you consider something that has been given to you as honor, you know how to behave yourself. Yes. When you see that it is an honor that your wife decided to marry you, you don't treat her anyhow. When you notice that it was an honor for your husband, that despite the fact that there were 25 sisters, he looked around the 25 sisters and chose you to be his wife, you will not misbehave. Hallelujah. The reason why, even when I am tired, I will still do the work of God. The reason why, when I'm even sick, I go to church and I preach, is because I consider the call of God as an honor. It's an honor for me that God will allow me to pick his word and read his word and preach his word, that God will decide that when I lay hands on somebody, he's also laying hands on that person. It's an honor. It's an honor. Hallelujah. When you understand that the doing the works that Jesus did, it's an honor. Look, many of us, we don't get it. A shepherd who your pastor must call you and say, have you gone to do outreach? You don't get it. You don't get it. That is why your pastor must call you. That is why my pastor, and some of the time when the pastor even calls you and you see the phone ringing, you just silence it and say, this man is disturbing us. He's disturbing us. He's not disturbing you. God is trying to honor you. So God is trying to bring honor to you. God is trying to bring honor. Where again will I have the opportunity for all of you to sit down for me to talk to you? It is God's honor. It is God's honor. Hallelujah. Yes. So when you see a hand being stretched out at you, it is because don't expect God to descend from heaven and come and hold your hands and say, I've called you. He's going to use a man. Bishop Hamish will stand here and say, I need people to do the work of God. It is not Bishop Hamish speaking. It is God speaking to you. God is stretching a hand of honor towards you. Say, I want to honor you. I want to honor you. Hallelujah. It is honor. And when you understand it, it makes you behave properly. It makes you behave properly. It makes you behave coolly. It makes you will never say that I am tired. You never say that, Reverend Kafu, you worry us too much. You never say that these pastors, they do something too much. Yeah. Because God is honoring you. Yes. God is honoring me. He's honoring me. I said, God is honoring me. People who would never have looked in my direction, now they look at me. When I come, what I have to say is important to them. Sometimes, look, one day somebody came to sit in my office and said, Bishop, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. I said, hey, do you know the person you are talking to? A useless human being like me. It is only God who, whatever he tells us to do, we do. It is only God who, when he tells you something. But now a man is looking at me and say, Bishop, whatever you ask me to do, I will do it. I realize that God has hardened me. I realize that God has honored me. Hey. Somebody who I'm sure even in their house, when the husband tries to talk to her, don't go with the children, I mean, sing. She's sitting there saying that, Bishop, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. Hey! That is honor. I said, that is honor. And may you respond to the honor that the Lord is bringing into your life. I said, may you, look, that is why one day I got up and I said, look, I want more of God. I want more of God. This engineering is worrying me. I want to give myself. I want to be taught out. I want to be in his presence. I want to follow him. Everywhere he sends me, I want to go. Anything he wants me to do, I want to do it, because it's a blessing. God is honoring me. It's an honor. When you understand that, Esther, you understand it. Before your pastor will say something, before Reverend Eli will say something, so Reverend Eli, it's done. We've done it. We've done it. Because God is honoring you. I said, because God is honoring you. Yes? My God. As he was talking, he reached out his hand to pull James to the top of the bank. James took his hand shyly. Will you join us? Jesus asked, gazing intently at James. James was stunned. A flood of thoughts arose from his heart. He had never considered himself a spiritual person like his brother. He tried to live by the rules and sincerely tried to do what was right, mostly to honor his father and mother, but he had really never felt much of a desire to know about God. God seemed too ambiguous and hard to understand. God is not hard to understand. Mercy. He had felt a subtle and almost continuous guilt about this. But now it was more than that. For some reason, at this moment, he felt shame. You see, in the day you stand before God, may you not feel shame. I said, in the day you stand before God, may you not feel shame. May you feel excitement. May you feel joy. Because you know that you have done the works. The presence of Jesus magnified these feelings in him to the point that he felt that he would either have to run or weep. Do not be ashamed. You are no different from other men. No man desires to know God. See, that is why I'm saying that it's an honor. Because men normally don't want to know God. So if God has touched my heart, look, people even don't want to pray. So if God has touched my heart, then I wake up in the morning and I say, I want to pray from morning to night. It is something. I say, it is something. Yes. Many people don't want to spend time with God. So anytime I'm so, I say, hey God, why have you made me different? That I want to be in your presence. That I want to spend time with you. It is honor. God is drawing you close. Hallelujah. Look, tonight, God sent me to tell you something. He sent me to tell you, I want to bring honor to your life. I want to bring honor to your life. Will you accept the honor that I'm bringing? Look, everything that you... Look, the thing that makes you cry at night that you are chasing after, it is useless. Is useless. It is useless. It will not matter at the point. Ha, makala masoko. You are no different from other men. No man desires to know God. Many do want to honor him, but few want to know him. And even fewer want to be close. Even fewer. Fewer can put off that television and spend time in the presence of God. See, Satan is competing for the time you can spend with God. Many years ago, I told myself when I finished my A-level, I was at home. I said I wanted to pray every day. And strangely enough, Bishop Amish, anytime it is time for me to pray, as I'm getting up, those days, Mnet was free. When I'm trying to get up to go and pray, then they'll start showing some nice movie. He said, Satan, he knows all of us are weak points. Then I'll say, God, me share 5 minutes. Five. Then I'll sit down. After 5 minutes, God, another five. Then when the 10 minutes come, I'll pretend I've not seen the time. I will finish watching 2 hours. If I was praying, I would have prayed for 2 hours. Hey! Then when the film ends, then as I'm getting up, part two, First one was First Blood. Now it is Rambo Part 2. God, I have the whole day. Don't worry. I'll come to you at a point. Yes. Competing. And now the competition is even worse. Now they don't only do films that are 1.5 hours. They do series. Four seasons, 4 years. Look, one pastor told me, he said one Saturday morning, he woke up. He said, you know, 24. Jack Bauer. He said he woke up one Saturday morning that he was going to go out. They said, oh, let me watch one episode. One episode of Jack Bauer, which is about 45 minutes. Let me watch it. Then when I finish, I'll go to town. He said, it's Saddam. Bishop Hamish, you know this person very well. For security reasons, I will not mention his name. But Bishop Hamish, you know him very well. He said he sat down. He said before he knew what was happening, he had watched all the 24 episodes in a season. He said from 6 a.m. no, operational now, but by 3 a.m. the next day. Hey! 24! Do you know how I used to watch 24? Let me show you how I used to watch 24. When I do everything and I lie on the bed and I'm about to sleep, then I don't watch it on the television. No, it's a mistake. I open my laptop and I start watching and I disconnect the power. So when the battery goes off, that is the end of 24. Hey! Because no matter how sleepy I was feeling, I know that if I give constant power, I can be there. You see, the same person who cannot even pray for 5 minutes because your eyes are closing, if 24 is there, oh God, oh God. So that's how I used to watch it. When I do everything, I lie on the bed, I put it on and disconnect the power. When the light up goes off, we are all sleeping in the house. Yes. Competition with God. Don't worry, I'll close right now. No man desires to know God. Many do want to honor him, but few want to know him, and even fewer want to be close to him. But the Father wants to be close to men. And he wants to be close to you. He wants to use you to help bring men closer to him.
Oh.
Each word seemed to hit James like a hammer upon his breast. John and his father were even embarrassed as tears began to flow down James's face. They have never seen him this emotional before, and he had never felt that way before. He was truly sorry that he had not tried to know God. He was also happier than he could ever remember being as he considered what Jesus had just said to him. He could not only get close to God, but he was sure that somehow the Lord was asking him to right now. Master, please just tell me what I need to do. That is what somebody told me. Bishop, just tell me anything to do and I will do it. Hey! Oh, that the one the person said, I looked at him and said, you don't understand what you are saying. Then what did Jesus say? Follow me. I do not know you, but I somehow know that you are true. I feel as if God himself is speaking through you. You not only know what I am thinking, you are somehow drawing my deepest thoughts out of my heart. I have never felt like this, and I do not do things rashly, but I know that I will follow you. I will.
Wow.
Zebedee watched the entire scene in stunned silence. How could such a brief encounter with a stranger have put such an impact on his son? And why was it that in spite of this astonishment, he was not feeling dismay, but peace? He felt that even as crazy as it all seemed, it was right. In fact, he even felt excitement.
Jesus then turned and looked at Zebedee. As he did, Zebedee felt something that he had not felt since he was a young child. He called it the joyful presence.
Tomorrow I'm going to talk about the presence of God.
I'm going to talk about the joyful presence. When he sat on the edge of the sea, pondering the glory of all that God had made, he would begin to feel as if the Lord himself would join him. Many times he had asked the Lord to show him his glory, just as he had shown to Moses. My God, I want to close, but the things are a lot, and I'm reading and he doesn't want to get finished. My God. Our family prayer, which I have heard all of my life, and which my sons have heard all of their life, is that our family will be used to bring honor to the great name of our God. What a prayer. I say, what a prayer. Not for shoe or dress. Somehow, I know that you are here because of those prayers. I will miss my sons, but this is a great day for me. I thank the God of my fathers for hearing our prayers. Look, I'm closing. Many people, look, recently something happened that I cannot believe. A certain woman, why would you prevent your child from coming to church? Why? Why would you? But a certain woman prevented the child from coming to church. I thought, because, I mean, as the child came to church, the child has developed a bad habit. So that is why the mother said, oh, I don't want my child to come to your church again. But later on, I discovered that the reason why the mother didn't want the child come to church was that the mother was using the child to make money, to do illegal business to get money. Galamsey. And since you started coming to church, she said she won't do the illegal business again. And that is the reason why the mother doesn't want the child to come to church anymore. Since you started coming to church, she doesn't bring me money. He doesn't bring me money. Hey! And when I discovered, I said, hey, I'm shocked. The reason why you don't want your child to come to church is because you were using the child to make money. Illegal business. Now that the child has started coming to church, the child said, I can't do this illegal business again. And because of that, the woman says, I don't want. The woman came to tell me, I don't want my child to come to your church again. And I said, ah, but if the child comes, I can't sack the person. So if you don't want the person to come, lock her in the, or lock him in the house. But me, Monday, if the person comes, my doors, you see, that's why the church, we don't close the doors. They are always open. Anybody can come in, and anybody can go out. Hallelujah. May you be a true believer. I say, may you be a true believer. Not a believer by word, but by works. Stand to your feet as we close. Come on, lift up your hands tonight. Matoro boshandire makotoria ni. Kala toro boshandire masende. You see, the reason why many people start doing the works and they stop is because it is challenging. If you have done the work of God for some time, you realize that it is challenging. it is difficult. You get it? And maybe the reason why some people even stop is that when they are going to start, we don't tell them about that. This thing, it can be wild. But people start and they stop. And they stop because they lack something. That is why tomorrow I'm going to talk about the presence of God. Hallelujah. Because if it is there, it will keep you. It will preserve you. You would, no matter how difficult it is. Look, one day Jesus preached and the Bible said that, and from that day, the disciples left him. The people were following, they left. Then he turned to Peter and to the 12 and asked them, will you also go? Will you also go? Peter said, where are we going to? Where are we going to? You have the words of eternal. You see, you must get to the point where when they ask you, won't you go? Your response is, where am I going? You see, right now, if you say, I should stop this thing, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. Reverend Kaffee, do you have something else you're going to do? Are you sure? Oh, are you sure that's from bank or something? You must get to that point when they say, go! I don't have anywhere to go. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands and pray and commit yourself into the hands of the Lord tonight. So say, yes, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to you tonight. Tonight, I'm going to pray for just one group of people, then we are gone. If you are here and you want to say, Lord, I want to be close. I want to be a true believer. I want to do the works that Jesus did. I am tired of just being a Christian who comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. I even feel I'm not worthy to be called a Christian because my life is nothing like Christ. But tonight, I want to start afresh with you, Lord. I want to become a doer of your works. I want to put my hands to the plow and do the works that Jesus did. If you are here like that, I want you to step forward. I want to pray with you tonight. Step forward. God is stretching Anna to you tonight. He's stretching Anna to you. Said, I'm coming to honor you. I'm coming to honor you. I'm coming to honor you. When you rise up to do the work of God, God is bringing you honor. When you become a shepherd, God is giving you honor. When you become a pastor, God is giving you honor. God is saying, I want to honor you tonight.
Listen. I want to say this. If you are not serious about it, don't come. If you are not serious, don't come. If you feel it's just an altar call and I'm coming, you see, God doesn't joke. He doesn't joke. You get it? God doesn't joke. He's very serious. You see, because when I lay hands on you, what is going to come upon your life? You see, Ezekiel said something. He said, "Then I said, I will speak no more in your name, but your words were shut up in my bones like fire. And I was weary with forbearing." You see, when that thing comes on you, you must be ready to flow. But I can tell you, take it from God, it is the best thing that can ever happen to you. It is the best thing that can ever happen to you. Can I have anointing oil, please? Interest will change. There are a lot of things that are not interesting to me anymore. God is going to do something in your life. Come on, lift up your hands. Yes, Lord. Makora steyate. Kantos prendele. A certain grace is coming upon you. Yes. Calabros de mandere macata. Landos precata lambros de ande. Candoromosekele. In the name of Jesus. Certain grace is coming upon you.
Yes.
See, I'm no longer. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
See, I'm no longer a slave.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Let the power flow. You are changing. You are changing. You are changing. Yes. 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 And pray that Lord will use you in a special way. Makolorede. Anna is coming your way. Yes, you'll be honored. You'll be honored. You'll be honored. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Talk to you about the works. in your dream. Your dreams are changing from today. Changing. Yes. Stretch forth your hand and you have brought honor to your people. Lord, everyone that has received this hand, let their life become beautiful. Let them begin to see that something different is happening in their lives and they have become different. Let them see that their desires have changed. A change in desire. A change in interest. In the name of Jesus. Just thank the Lord tonight. Bless His name. 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 Lord, we bless you. 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 Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. Ma porro bo scendere bene 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 bene. Raba ma ba condere ma scendere bene bene bene. Ma tole raba raba ma scende. Yes, Lord. Yes. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. In mighty Jesus' name. Now, tonight, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe somebody invited you to come for this convention. Maybe you came on your own. But you know in your heart that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. All this is useless without salvation. So tonight, you want to say, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. And I want to become born again. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here like that, please lift up your right hand right now. Lift up your right hand. Pray with me, Pastor. Pray with me, Pastor. I want to give my life to Jesus. Yes. Father, Lord, we thank you. Father, Lord, we bless you. Father, Lord, we honor you. Thank you, Lord, for visiting us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for speaking into our lives. We give you glory and we give you praise. In mighty Jesus' name we pray. Amen.